Expressions from St. Paul is 100% listener supported. We thank you for your faithful prayers and contributions. It's because of you that we get the opportunity to share the good news gospel of Jesus Christ with the world.
So I want to encourage you today, keep moving forward, and it's going to be some blocks in your way, but you cannot stop moving with Christ.
This week, Dr. Williams concludes the series, Moving Forward with Christ, with the message which he titles, You Can Move Effectively with Christ. He shares the importance of continuing to move forward with the Lord, because contrary to our own thoughts and opinions, we have not yet arrived.
As long as there's still disfranchised and downtrodden, oppressed, segregated, and exploited, as long as there is underprivileged, underclass, underserved, we have not arrived. As long as we have to always identify who we are, we have not arrived. We have not arrived when Sunday is the most separated, segregated day in the year. We haven't arrived. We haven't arrived that in certain areas you can't even call God's name outwardly. We have not arrived.
Welcome to Expressions from the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. We are blessed to have serving as our pastor, serving us faithfully for the past 48 years, Dr. Ephraim Williams. Our edifice is located at 3996 14th Avenue in Sacramento. We'd like to take this opportunity to invite you out to worship with us in person on Sunday morning. New membership orientation begins at 8:45 a.m. Sunday school classes for all ages are offered at 9 a.m. And at 10 a.m., our morning worshiping experience begins. It would truly be a blessing to look around and to see your face in the place. If you have your Bible or your mobile device, let's go to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 14 down through 15. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We are now going to transition into the auditorium, and let's join morning worship service already in progress.
I want to continue. I told you I would do that. It's been very difficult because of the time and so much going on. I want to continue today on the subject, keep moving forward with Christ. Right. Now, in order to do that, you have to know him. Right. I'm learning the longer I live, there are many, many people that attend church on Sunday morning, and they're Lord. Very good. They help. They even pay tithes. They do mission work, and they have set themselves up to be a California judge in the Christian world. Now I want to say something that is going to mess with your theology. Nobody that you will find, nobody, I don't care what they tell you, nobody on earth, when I use the word nobody, I mean nobody, is perfect.
Right.
You can be in church speaking in 10 tongues. You can dance until your knees go out.
Right.
When you get through, you are not perfect. I didn't say that. Jesus called people. It's in your Bible. And this is what disturbs any called pastor. That you have set yourself up, whoever you might be, to be a judge or somebody else made an error. Peter denied Jesus. And he did something else. What was it? That some of y'all do. He had a, what that thing that he got so angry, He cut a man's ear. And there's nobody in the New Testament that God used more than he did Peter. I like Peter. One of the reasons I said all the time I like Peter so much, Peter protected his master. I've been through that. I did it twice. A man wanted to jump on the late Joseph Williams because he was listening to his wife. And I said to him what I said to you. I said, that's fine. Put your hand on the knife. I'm going to jail. You know what that means? I said, he's an elderly man. And you're not going to put your hand on him and get away with it. You said, but and Francis, I was preaching. You got quiet then, didn't you? Had nothing to do with my responsibility. Nothing. You are responsible for certain things in God's kingdom once you get saved. You might not like me, but if you say you're still my spiritual brother and my spiritual sister, you can frown until you look like Teddy Bear Zoom, but you're still my brother and sister. If you're saved. We hope we can finish today. So Paul says that Philippians 3, and Philippians is one of my favorite books in the Bible. Paul says, brethren, that's everybody. He says, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing, I just wish many of you all sitting out there, just come up with one thing that you're going to do for God. That I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, how many of y'all watched yesterday in the news and that boy after that lady was convicted? How many of y'all watched that young boy said, I forgive you? And then he did something else that many of you would never do. He recommended to her the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he asked the judge, can I say something? Then he came down. This is in Texas, isn't it? Yeah. Texas. He came down, and maybe you didn't see the boy. He's black. He came down and hugged a convicted white woman. That woman had nothing to do with color. And then he... Not only did the judge, they said she's in trouble. She'll get out because she recommended Jesus. She came out of her, what is that thing? Out of the chamber and hugged her and recommended a scripture to read. And some of you would never recommend a scripture for nobody to read. She'll never be forgotten. Never. Okay, somebody mistreated a person, did you bad person, and you sitting around here preaching, teaching, and you can't forgive them and let it go. You are preaching in vain, and you're teaching in vain. I'm talking about the Bible. You cannot be walking with God, unless you don't know the scripture. If you don't know the scripture, then you can do that. But if you know the Bible, you can't do that. Amen. 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 So that's Paul said, just do one thing. Okay, let's move on here today. Friends, when I look at Paul telling us to move forward with Christ. Christ has given to us, according to 2 Peter, I'm talking about the saints now. Everything we need. I don't care how well you can cook, how well you dress, and what you drive. You can't supersede what God has already done. So if he's given it to us, when are we going to bring it forward and use it? Let me give you a few things that it was tried. I was had a meeting in an organization I was a member of, and I paid my dues. I was faithful. I never created no problem. And my name came up that we would like for to recommend that to this group, Pastor William, become president. One of the brothers got up and said, "No, I would not recommend that because he doesn't talk a lot." So they listened to him because he had been a few places. They listened to him. So they didn't recommend my name. 2 years after then, Francis, I got a call that we would like for you to become our president. I said, "No, they have to vote on it. We know if they vote, you'll win." So I called him. I said, "You know, I've been asked, but I'm not giving my name to run for nothing. If God wants me to have it, I'll get it. My brothers and sisters and the St. Paul Saints, two people stepped out. One man was going to run, according to him, against me, and I wasn't campaigning. Spoke one time. So when 2 weeks before the time, he dropped out. I'm the only person in the history of that organization that anybody's name was put as president got all the delegates' votes. More than 4,000. I didn't have to be a crook if that's God's desire. I moved into it. I told you this before. It was broke. Had no money. They gave me what's that thing you put storage stuff in? A cabinet. And it was broke. They gave me a piano, and it was broke. We gave away more money for mission and under my leadership than anybody. We put the roof on 3 churches. One was $37,000. We, the people, listen carefully. I said they were broke. When I left, we left them with $50,000 invested. Listen carefully. I have a reason to tell you this. Then we paid all the bills. They didn't owe nobody. And then we gave the new president, Francis, $13,000 to get started. And when I went down those steps, 3 men were at the bottom. And one reached out. And what he was going to do to me, I should never have given that kind of information out. That's what he said. One of my good friends, preacher, in the cabinet, he said, "Just come on, Brother President, I got your back." He said to the guy, "If you touch me, I'm going to cut your throat." That's why I like Peter. He was protecting his president. Now, you said, and the people who went underground to try to hurt me got hurt. Let me repeat it over here because you didn't hear it. The people went underground, tried to hurt me, got hurt. You can't beat what God has in plan. Whatever God plans, you can't beat it. Yes, yes, I know, I hear you. You say, but I'm smart. You're not that smart. The smartest people I know, I mean, the smartest today, I know some smart people. And when it comes to God, They're just as dumb as I am about flying an airplane. You have nothing supersede the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody said yesterday, Pastor, you're always humming, I never let go of his hand. And I got a testimony. I said, when I die, I hope that's my last words. I'm not going to serve no God on earth and don't have a testimony. I got a testimony. This morning at 20 minutes to 5, I wasn't dreaming and thinking about some stupid stuff. I was talking to God so I could increase my testimony. I'll tell you a little bit later, but see, ever so often I look back over my life. I look back and see what the Lord has done for me. I got a testimony. Hold me, Holy Ghost. Hold me, Holy Ghost. Paul says, you keep moving forward regardless of the pain, the pressure, the persistence, the problems may be penetrating your plight or predicament. You keep on moving. Keep moving forward anyway, Francis, anyhow, and by any means necessary. You move on with the Lord. That the word for the church today is, no matter what people say about you, don't matter how they lie, and they're talking about, I love the Lord, and you're lying, how you gonna love the Lord and lie at the same time? That's no such thing as that. And no matter what happened, keep moving with the Lord. I came to St. Paul three, my fellow brothers, met with three other deacons and said, I wouldn't call Pastor Williams, Reverend Williams, I wouldn't call him because he's not a hooper. I got a good memory. And I said to Deacon Wright and Brother Sherry Kennedy, I said, listen careful. You let them hoop. Let me read the scripture and pray and see who's going to win. So Brother Wright said, you want to talk to them, I'll go with you. I said, no, they haven't said nothing. They didn't call me. And the church doesn't get their advice to call me. I'm talking about moving forward with God. Let me help the women here today. This is strictly for the women. There's a lady who wanted a different ring about 2 years ago, and she was talking about her husband wouldn't buy it and how stingy and tight he was. And I said, well, what make you think he didn't want to buy you a ring after 35 years? And I found out the problem was, Francis, she was mean. She wasn't loving. She didn't like to cook. And I will tell you the other one, we got a lot of young folks in here. So how in the world she want him to buy her a ring and she's not contributing to him? Marriage means coming together as one and contributing to each other. And the men said, I know it because I was married 55 years, 5 months, 2 weeks, and 4 days. She always contributed. That's the best word I can find right now. So I want to encourage you today. Keep moving forward. And it's going to be some blocks in your way. But you cannot stop moving with Christ. Amen. Amen. Keep moving forward. Anyway, I said, anyhow and any means necessary. I'm going to keep moving forward until I die. You say, but they said, but if, what if you get to the point you can't walk? They're going to roll me in a wheelchair. And if you get in my way, I'm going to tell them to roll over you. Friends, you cannot let him down for what he's done for you. Paul must have dealt with sports. I told you that before. He used sports in an area like what I'm dealing with today. Because when you are as a sportsman, you have to give up some stuff. You can't just do what you want to do because you need your strength, your rest, and your thinking power. See, and friends, you can't, when you're in sports, you can't go to parties and stay there half of the night or all night. The gentleman said to me, Pastor Weaver, there's nothing wrong with you going to parties and enjoying your life. I said, that is true. There's nothing wrong with it. That's why I don't go. I can party at my house. And if I was stupid enough to drink, I'd drink at home. I'm not that crazy. Let me tell you why I'm not that crazy. I used to drink black and white scotch. I used to drink hams and slits. Falstaff and Jacks. When Gwen was born, I got on my knees. I said, God, you blessed me with a child. Take away my desire for drinking. Because I don't want her to ever say her daddy was an alcoholic or her daddy drank. You talk to her. I got to the point I couldn't stand to smell it. And I'm still alive and not drinking. And I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, look where I come from. Quit denying the power of Almighty God. He has all power. And you got to tap in on it if you want to enjoy this life. I might not have what you have, but one thing I do have is peace of mind. And when you are a crook and acting holy, you can't have the joy of the Holy Ghost. This is going to get me in trouble, and that's good. I know preachers preach against healing. I don't believe in healing. God, stop. Let me ask you something. How dumb can a person be telling you don't eat and they are eating? Let me put it in another way. Why would you ask people to pray and you don't believe in healing? Why? Why would you do that? And then Francis, another thing. Three times the doctor said I was going to die. And a young man came in the hospital. I didn't recognize who he was. Put his hand on both of my shoulders. When his temperature was 108. When he left out, it started dropping. The doctor said to my wife, take this notebook and get this last request. My wife said, oh, he'll be fine. She's on one side praying, doctor on the other side. Now, many people in this church criticized me and said, I pray too much. I'm going to pray, and 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 I'm going to pray for you acting up like that kind of silliness. If it had not been for God, I wouldn't have what I have. I wouldn't be where I am. I wouldn't be able to operate like I am. It's God, not me, not no academics, not no theological background. It's God inside of me. We got to stop playing church because you're not going to get nowhere. I don't love nobody better than I love God. Nobody. And the reason I love him, because I can't help but every now and then I look back. I'll come back there later. And so, friend, listen. Paul must have came to the conclusion that everything I have, he said, all that I have. His inspiration, he said, verse number 12, chapter 3 of Philippians, he said, yet I have not attained. I'm not arrived yet. We had this gentleman who used to live next door to me. He bought a new car. And I said, now you can help take some people to church on Sunday because it's just you and your wife. I just got my new car. Don't put anybody in my car. I said, you know what? I said, you're not stupid. You're crazy. You just got a new car. How did you get the car? Why don't we start thinking rationally? If whatever you have, if it wasn't for God, you would not have it. All right, all I'm saying is in your Bible, just check it out. And so, friends, Paul says, I have admiration. And I have, my friend, not that I have already attained or already perfected, but he said, I don't care, but I'm going to press on. See, saying, friend, that I made hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. I'm going to press on. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's problem, but I'm going to press on. Yeah. Paul alluded to the fact in verse 15 and 16 that he has gained some grounds in the area of spiritual maturity and Christ-likeness. I said yesterday, and I said to you to help you, I said yesterday, you get too angry too quick. Anything doesn't go your way, you get angry. And you 75 years old. You're an old dude, Richard. Don't get angry over nothing. Because you put toxin in your body. Smile. Smile. Francis can sing. It doesn't accept me when I'm the Holy Ghost moving on me. I don't care what you say. May the light of live speak for me. I can't be Francis, but I can certainly be the child of God. Amen. And so my brothers and sisters, keep moving with Christ. Now, Paul not only talked about admiration, but right up to verse number 12, he says, I haven't arrived yet. I still got a long ways to go. He says, I got admiration, and so I'm going to press on. Press on, okay? The word speaks of pursuing, and my friends, and something to chase after. My mother was in Chicago because my brother had a serious accident, and he was in a coma. So my mother came to Chicago to pray for him and help him with our oldest son. And so while she was there, I said to her, I was living there then. He just went there shortly. I said, a year. I said, Mama, you know, I would like to go home for a week. She said, well, let me think about it. Now here I am living in another state. And I'm asking this lady, my mother, what she thought. So the next day she said, go on. I went home and stayed a week. She said, why you want to go home? I said, I just, you know, I'm a little homesick. But I had to apologize later because I lied. I wasn't homesick. I was going home to see my girlfriend. And this side over here said, if I hadn't went back, I probably wouldn't have got her. See, you got to learn to follow what's given to you. Amen. Paul says, God saved me that I might be conformed to an image of his son. And so I am passionate and aggressively pursuing that, says Paul. Paul says, I haven't arrived yet, but it, my friend, is my admiration. And can I help somebody here today? None of you, I don't care how you strut, you haven't arrived. I don't care what avenue you live on. I don't care what car you drive. I don't care how many degrees you have. And I've been around people who got all kinds of degrees. I don't care what you have not arrived. Amen. Amen. I don't need nothing. I don't need nobody to help me. Quit lying. We all need something. And we need somebody to help us. Amen. When Trump get through with you, we'll move on. We haven't arrived. As long we haven't arrived, we have not arrived. Listen careful. As long as there's still disfranchised and downtrodden, oppressed, segregated, and exploited, as long as there is underprivileged, underclass, underserved, we have not arrived. As long as we have to always identify who we are, we have not arrived. We have not arrived when Sunday is the most separated, segregated day in the year. We haven't arrived. We haven't arrived that in certain areas you can't even call God's name outwardly. We have not arrived. But there is a God that sits high and he looks low. And America would not be in the mess she's in if she hadn't put herself in that mess. Read it. We haven't arrived yet. If we don't get the grace of giving, listen careful. There are people who attend church every Sunday and wouldn't give a dime in their own church. But they send money off to the televangelists and don't even know them. And you send them money and don't give your own church a dollar. I said, and the preacher told me he didn't agree with me. It didn't make no difference whether you agree with me or not. I would never join a church. I wouldn't. And the preacher's half naked. And then when he gets through, his wife gets up and do the booger wiggle. I would never do that because I know too much about scripture. Well, let me put it another way. Let me just go over here. If I come to church next Sunday with my shirt open, hanging out, and the hole in my pants, what would you do? You say, he lost his mind. I know what you'll do. I would never go to work looking better than I do come to church. And the reason is because I'm representing the Almighty. I'm just going to work temporarily. Oh, let's move on. I hope I get through here. Okay, listen careful. As long as the church pays more homage to a man than they do to the Messiah, we have not arrived. As long as you can sit in church and don't speak to people, and soon as the benediction you run, you have not arrived. Did you know God organized, one of the reasons God organized the church, so the saints could come together and pray for each other, encourage each other, and have time for each other? That's one of the reasons we have a church. They're not in my class. What class are you in? Ask me after church and I'll tell you. And so my brothers and sisters, listen carefully. As long as people will die unrepentant, unregenerated, and outside of the arch of safety, you tap somebody near you and tell them, you have not arrived. As long as church members will not teach their family members about Christ, you have not arrived. As long as you can talk all day about somebody else, but not about Christ, you have not arrived. Amen. My I got a lot of people who went to universities and colleges, and I'm their special uncle. And I was telling one when I went back there early in the year, he's got everything. He got all kind of degrees, and he got all kind of power, and he makes all kind of money. I said, have you ever really thought about getting your life together? He said, I have it together. I live, he told me, some suburbs he lived in. I said, is that right? When I live here, you couldn't even go out there. I said, brother, as soon as it's over, they're going to drive you out of that suburb into what it is called a hearse, or in a wagon, or in a truck. And I said, and you're not going to take nothing with you. So you need to look at what you have now, and what are you going to do with it? He got quiet. I said, I'm not all, you brought it up. I said, you got all that material stuff. And why did your wife leave you? She walked out of the house and left him. He's smart. Two masters, PhD, owns worth $5 or $6 million. But Francis, his wife, left him. He said, well, she said this. I said, but what did you say? Let me put it this way. I didn't have all of that. And my wife, still leaving me, she loved me more. See, when you're put together by God, you don't worry about what you don't have. You worry about working with what you have. You don't have to say, ma'am, I got to tell you the truth. I told you before, I don't know how long I have to live, but as long as I live, I have to tell the truth, because I'm a witness for the kingdom. Yes. Amen. Let's move on here this morning. Listen, church, I like the way, I like it very much, friends. I would tell you about the Larry Bird, but I don't have time for that. Friends, Jesus saved Paul. Paul was not accepted. You Baptist people, so you'll know this. Paul was not accepted among any of the apostles. None of them. Only person that accepted Paul was Barnabas. See, God always has one in the crowd that's going to do everything. That's like some people come to church and they talk all through service. They miss what God wants to tell them. Amen. Look what happened to Paul. God had overlooked and forgave him for his past. And God had a job for Paul to do. Just because the apostles didn't accept him at first, it didn't stop him. God opened doors that they thought he would never get. And Paul says, I have not attained, but I'm still pressing on. I like that very much. I know you have come through trials and trouble and tribulation, but I still say we can do better. You say, I'm doing well, but you can do better. You say, but why do I want to do better? Because God has better for you. Amen, friend. If you tap somebody on the shoulder, look at them and look at them in their eyes and tell them, you're good, but you can be better. Amen. Amen. Let's move on. That would be, friends, impossible, imprudent, and flat out unwise. What he is talking about is being influenced or bound by the past. John MacArthur said something that I like. He says, in reference to Paul's statement in verse 13, churches are full of spiritual, crippled, paralyzed by grudges, bitterness, sins, and tragedy of the past, and they can't get over it. That's what he said. Even after we were saved, fail the Lord we have. Let's be honest. Or not, we are not be ashamed after God has forgiven us about our past. Yes, sir. I'm not ashamed that I used to drink, because it's clear. He wiped it clear, and I don't have no taste for it. So I'm thankful that he's not like some Afro-Americans. I was in Chicago, and one of them said to me, "You still drink?" I said, "You haven't even spoke." Intelligent, digging in my past. And he just got out of jail 2 years ago. Help me, Holy Ghost. And there are those who are, my friend, there are those who are hungry for the word and won't study it. They're hampered and bound by the past. And because of that, they don't want to get into the present. Even after we were saved, I repeat, we still have not arrived. We have not dotted every I, crossed every T. I've discovered that the greatest enemy I have is in me. And the only way he can stay in control is yield to the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Our church, I said this, and I'll say it again. In the Word of God, you think about it sometime. In the Word of God, you never would know what it says unless you take the time and read it. You'd be surprised that the church people come to church every Sunday and never read the word all the week. So next week we're going to read the book of Hebrews with everybody. Listen, we all messed up. We all missed the mark. We all have sinned. Not you all, but we all, my friends. And listen, sin not dealt with will destroy us. See, many times the reason we don't know we have sinned, we don't know what sin is. Sin is more than having sex out of marriage. Sin is more than having a girlfriend or boyfriend when you're married. Sin is more than drinking. Sin is more than lying. See, it's a whole lot of things that deal with sin. But if you read the word, you'll find out what they are. Listen. We all have messed up. Automatically, we understand that our sins have been dealt with on the cross. And even though they have been dealt with, the devil has a way of constantly bringing up our sin to keep us in bondage. Yes. Yes. Two college people met, two guys and gentlemen, and they talked too long. It was midnight. And so one of them went home, and the next day the gentleman, the other one, said, "Well, how did your wife handle you being out late?" He said, "She completely lost it. She reminded me of everything I used to do even before I married her." That's what this wife did to this husband. Remind them. And the reason she could do that, I keep telling the brothers and they don't believe it, women has a hard drive. And they place the stuff on the hard drive, and when they need it, they turn it on and the drive runs back and replay it. And the brothers ought to say, "Amen." How about your wife? How did she take it? And he asked the other one. He said, well, when I came in, my wife got hysterical until she found out about the conversation. And all she said is, good, you found out some things about your friend. Didn't put me down or remind me about yesterday. That's because of growth. If you don't grow, you're going to remain the same old used to be. You got to grow. Amen. Listen, we laugh at that. My brothers and sisters, listen carefully. The failure need to be not to be failure. What's in the past ought to stay in the past. If the devil has you bound and burdened by past sins, take your eyes off of the past. Believe God's promises that you have been forgiven and give up and keep on moving forward. Amen. Some years ago, they called a preacher to a church to be the pastor. And a man got up and said, well, I vote against him for being the pastor here because he used to gamble a lot. And he had other girlfriends. And so I'd vote against it. To the left, a young lady stood up, grown. She said, but daddy, how could you be against that? And you are my daddy. And I am not from your wife. What did you think he, what you think he did? He sit down. Be careful, your sins will find you out. Amen. And the man was elected. If you're going to find a perfect person to elect as a pastor, then you better die and bring him back when you come back. There's nobody on earth perfect. And why would you look for somebody perfect and you are not perfect? Amen. Well, I have to bring it to a close. I'll do the other parts some other time. Someone hindered you or held you up or hurt you. And the bad part about it is that it wasn't somebody in the world. It was somebody in the church. Listen, we have that, my friend, popularity click today. There is no hate like church hate. And while there is some truth to that, because some of my greatest sorrows have been the hand of the so-called saved and sanctified saints. I mean, hit so hard, and didn't I see it coming? I didn't expect it. I was blindsided, ambushed, wayward, knocked down and almost knocked out in church. Listen carefully. I believe this cliche, these tricks that hurts people in church, I believe they wouldn't do that if they knew the scripture. If you know the scripture, you wouldn't do that. Amen. Amen. Well, this has nothing to do with our deacon. Let me give you a story about our deacon. Yeah, when you said, that's good. I mean, you're listening. There was a deacon, fine gentleman. And he came to church, and he was drunk. Are you there? He was drunk. And another deacon said to me, did you know so-and-so is drunk? I said, no, he doesn't drink. He said, well, he's drunk. I said, well, then go and take him out quick. Don't take him to the bathroom. Take him to the back door. I said, go back and get this other deacon and tell him, come on, so we can take him home. Right. He said, but why we want to take him home if he's drunk? Go get the pastor. I said, nope. Don't go get the pastor. Let us take him home. I said, that's not biblical to go get the pastor. Biblical it is that you confess your sins one And then that person is to pray for you. So we took him home. And his wife came to the door and helped us. And she said, well, what happened? I said, I don't know. I said, what you do? Go run a bathtub of hot water and cool it off. And we'll help him to get undressed and get in the tub. And the other helped sober him up. Amen. He came out of it. He came out to be one of the best deacons in that church. Amen. If we'd have washed and carried and talked about his mistakes, we wouldn't have had the gift that we found up with. Right. Amen. Amen. Why should I talk about him and I used to drink? I didn't get drunk, but I drank. And some of you had a drink last night in Radio Land and went to church this morning. And God forgive you. Why can't you forgive other people? Amen. Amen. Well, I can't do that, Pastor. I can't forgive other people. Then God has not forgiven you. If you can't forgive others, if you think God has forgiven you, you're fooling yourself because it's not biblical. He forgives who forgives. Yes, because they're not doing what you want to do, that's not the Bible. Church hurts. Job hurts. Home hurts. Neighborhood hurts. All hurts is hurt. And all hurts is painful. And we have to learn how to deal with hurts. Listen, all I'm trying to say here is, if we are not, my friend, if we are not careful, we can let our hate halter us in our growth. Right. Amen. Amen. Nothing hurted me more and worse when I discovered my son was smoking marijuana. It was painful, but I still loved him. I'd get on him. He'd cry, but I loved him. He was my blood before he ever got marijuana in him. After all of that 3 years, 6 months, he came back to God. You can love the devil out of your life. You can say, oh, God, you know I can't fight this battle. I need some help from you today. I submit my life to you today and watch God work in your life today. He'll do that for us. Amen, amen. My brothers and sisters, when I look about, think about, when I focus what's before me, I have a hard task that's before me. But I've learned to never let go his hand. He's done too much for me. We must be totally focused. Allow nothing to distract, divert, or deter us to get ourselves in the right race. We worked too hard to give up now. The writer of Hebrews says, my friends, some thought in mind, he says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight that is sin, which is so easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. He says, I'm looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. My brothers and sisters, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. If we keep our eyes on Jesus, you'll be able to win the battle. Jesus was born, listen to your people who talk about the ghetto. Jesus was born out of wedlock to a teenage mother and to an earthly daddy who died at an early age. And yet, my friend, and yet he endured. Jesus lived in a ghetto town called Nazareth. I went there. Where every, my friend, were even some of his family thought he was a lunatic and half crazy. And yet, he endured. Church, they hung him by men on a cross. And yet, he endured. Most of his homeboys, my brothers and sisters, was ignorant and unlearned. And one of them would cut you or curse you at the drop of a hat. Two more was only concerned but about themselves. But he still endured. They hung him like a common criminal. And he died on a horrible death. And my friends, a little hill called Calvary. In spite of his difficulties, he endured. My daddy said, let people talk about you. And the reason they're talking about you, they don't want you to know about them. I can now witness he was right. My brothers and sisters, we dream when we hit the tape of the cross. We ought to sing if we have come too close to the cross to give up the crown. Amen. We have a testimony. Jesus finished the race, but he didn't give up. Many have dropped out, some fell out, and others were kicked out. But thanks God for those that did finish the race. Some of you have business in your mind you need to go in. Some of you need to work for yourself. Some of you need to learn skills that God has given you the ability. But you can't do it unless you submit to him. My brothers and sisters, yes, there's a whole lot of things that I can't do. And a whole lot of things I don't want to do. But one thing I'm going to do, and I want you to hear me today as I close this sermon. One thing I'm going to do, my brothers and sisters, as my friends, just look. 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 I will never, I said one thing I'm going to do. I will never let go his hand. I will never let go Jesus' hand. And the reason he's done so much for me, he opened doors I could not see. He has made so many ways for me. I never let go. I'm going to hold his hand as long as I live. And the reason I'm going to hold his hand, he's the one that caused for me to have a testimony. I look back over my life and see where I came from. I can tell you, he brought me from a long way, and I got to testify today. He saved me when I was lost. He's my company keeper when you don't want to be bothered. He give me bread when I'm hungry. He put a few dollars in my pocket. He holds my hand when I get weak. I have a testimony. Long time ago, when people tried to mistreat me, Jesus looked beyond my fault. And he said, speak, William. I got to tell you, yes, I got a testimony. I look back over my life. He brought me through hills and mountains, through valleys and storms. I can tell you today, I stand here, he's all right. He's all right. He's well. He's all right. He lifted me up. He turned me around, placed my feet on solid ground. He's all right. I said, he's all right. He's all right. He's all right. He's all right. Tell the world, he's all right. He's better than better. He's cleaner than cleaner. He's higher than higher. He's powerful than powerful. He's all right. What is your testimony? You don't think you have a testimony? Look back and see where you came from. And watch him. Yes, I love those songs. I love a lot of songs, but not like those. You see, stand here, Francis. Francis, holding my hand because I need help. Are you listening? Francis, holding my hand. If I get my hand from his hand, turn her loose, I might fall. But long as I hold his hand, I'm not going to fall. You miss it. So why would I let go Jesus' hand over some man's hand? You hear what I said? I have a testimony. Chris, will you run down here and give us a little of that? You need to listen. Where's your testimony?